Hello everyone, welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Broadcast. The title of today's message is Grace to You. The letters of the New Testament begin with a common greeting, Grace and Peace to You. A few add the word mercy, saying Grace, Mercy and Peace to You. Now the traditional Jewish greeting was shalom, meaning peace, so it's not surprising that we see this word peace. But Paul added the word grace before peace. He never explained why, but perhaps he did this because the grace of God is the reason for our peace with God. Were it not for God's grace to us, we would not be able to live at peace with Him. A common ending to the letters is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So the letters begin with grace and they end with grace. When you think about it, this makes a lot of sense because our relationship with God begins with grace and it continues with grace. Listen to these powerful words from the Apostle Paul. I'll read all texts from the New International Version, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So our journey with Jesus begins with grace. We are saved by this amazing grace. And our journey continues with grace. Let's read on in the text, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So the grace of God doesn't only bring about our salvation. It continues in us as we live the new life that God has given us, as we do the good things that God has planned for us to do. Now, Paul describes this wonderfully in his letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, some of you may be thinking right now, hold on a minute. I thought the Christian life was all about grace, not works. We are saved by grace, not by works. Why are we now talking about good works? Now, it is absolutely clear that the passages that we read from Ephesians, that we are saved by grace, not by works. Our salvation has nothing to do with what we have done, and everything to do with what Jesus has done. But the Christian life, the new life that we live as children of God, as those who have been saved by the grace of God, is not a passive life. God has prepared good works for us to do. These are not good works that achieve our salvation. These are good works that follow our salvation. You could even say they reveal our salvation. Now, I believe that it's really important that we understand this. The grace of God does not save us and then leave us sitting idly in some sort of spiritual departures lounge. Here's a picture to illustrate where I'm going with this. It doesn't leave us sitting on the couch waiting to leave earth and take our place in heaven. No, we have work to do. And these good works are also works of God's grace. As Paul wrote, it was not him working hard, but the grace of God working through him. So I like to think of it this way. We are saved by grace. This is the first work of God's grace in our lives. And then we live by grace. This is the continuing, ongoing work of God's grace in our lives. As we live by grace, the grace of God works in us and through us. And we begin to do the good works that God has prepared for us to do. Now, friends, this is an enormous privilege. We did not deserve to be saved, and we do not deserve the privilege of working with God as he continues in his mission. On the topic of mission, consider Jesus' final command recorded in Matthew, known as the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Look at those words. This is a very active commission. We are commanded by our Lord to go, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach. Disciples of Christ are taught to obey the commands of Jesus. That's a lot of action. So we are saved by the grace of God, and then by the grace of God, we live a new life as disciples of Jesus. This life is characterized by obedience, by doing what Jesus commanded. Now that we have been saved, the grace of God changes the way that we live. We now live as the children of God, as disciples of Jesus. We now have a clear sense of identity and a clear sense of purpose. The grace of God has a powerful effect on our lives. As Paul put it, his grace to me was not without effect. The grace of God affects us. Friends, this grace of God motivates us. It energizes us so that we do the things that God wants us to do. Paul observed that he ended up working harder than the other apostles. This was not because he was trying to earn God's favor or earn a ministry position. Paul already had God's favor by grace. And Paul already had God's appointment as an apostle by grace. The grace of God was now motivating him and energizing him to do the apostolic work that God had called him to do. Imagine for a moment that our lives were letters, letters that were written to our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our families. Those letters should begin with grace and peace to you, and they should end with the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our lives should be full of grace to them. As we live in the grace of God, we will share this grace with those around us. So let's stop and think for a moment and ask two very important questions. Number one, is the grace of God with you? Are you saved by His grace? Are you now living in God's grace? And number two, is the grace of God flowing from you? Does your life say grace to you, to others? To live in this grace, I think we need to grasp the fact that we are all total grace cases. As our first Ephesians text taught us, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's Ephesians 2 verse 1. You can't get more helpless than dead. Dead people can't do anything. And that is how we were to God. There was nothing that we could offer Him. But then, God made us alive in Christ. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Friends, we are all absolute grace cases. Paul was a hero of the faith, but he was an absolute grace case. And so are you, and so am I. Once we understand that we are grace cases, we can learn to live in that grace of God. And when we live in the grace of God will flow from us. The parable of the unmerciful servant is a powerful picture of someone who didn't understand just what a grace case he was. And so he failed to extend grace towards others. Jesus told this parable in response to a question from a disciple. Matthew chapter 18 from verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And the alternative translation of that Greek translated 77 is 70 times seven times. Jesus then taught this parable. There was a servant who owed his master an impossible debt, 10,000 bags of gold. Because he was unable to repay this debt, the master ordered that he, his family, and his possessions should all be sold to repay that debt. The servant fell on his knees before his master and pleaded for more time to repay that debt. The master took pity on him, and he cancelled the debt. But then, the servant found a fellow servant who owed him a relatively small debt. He demanded repayment of this debt. The fellow servant also pleaded for more time, but the servant had him thrown into prison instead. When the master heard, he was furious. Let's pick up the end of the parable in verse 32 of chapter 18. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. That's a powerful message, isn't it? Grace flows into us and it needs to flow out. Now, Peter's question was essentially, how much grace do I have to extend to a person who sins against me? And Jesus' answer was essentially, you have received infinite grace from me. I therefore expect you to extend grace to others. Stop counting their sins. You know, when we put our faith in Jesus our entire debt of sin against God was cancelled. What amazing grace. And when we sin again, we have this promise of ongoing grace. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Having been saved by grace, we can continue to live in his grace. If we sin, confession will lead to forgiveness and cleansing, complete cleansing. And there is no limit attached to this promise. Having received this level of grace from God, it should surely be unthinkable that we limit our grace toward others. Yet, we can fall into the same trap as that servant in the parable. We can forget the grace that we are living in and then refuse to extend grace to others. We can say things like, "That's three strikes, they're out," or "That's it, I have no more grace for them." Imagine if God did that to us. Now, I don't say this lightly. I know that forgiving can be really hard. But let's remember how hard it was for Jesus. We have not endured the level of pain and trauma that he did. Jesus has offered us the most amazing grace. We must, in turn, offer this grace to those who sin against us. Let me conclude. The grace of God is truly amazing. We are saved by this amazing grace, and we can continue to live as children of God, as disciples of Christ, in this amazing grace. This amazing grace gives us the privilege of sharing in the ministry of Jesus, making disciples, and of extending his grace to those around us. Let's receive the grace of God. Let's live in the grace of God. And let's share the grace of God with others. Amen.